Sefer Yonah, Perek Beit. So what happens in the course of Perek Beit, again, as all of you know, Yonah is swallowed by a big fish, and he's spit up by a big fish. And that's about everything that happens in the course of Perek Beit, except for the fact that between the first swallowing and the throwing out of Yonah, there is a tefillah. And that tefillah defines what it is that was going on, not from any type of objective point of view, but from the point of view of what it was that Yonah describes as his experiences. That means that when Yonah comes out, and you'll notice, by the way, the strange remez to the fact that in the end, he will be the one that is vomited out. And that is that the sailors, before throwing him in, beg God that the nefesh ha'ish hazeh should not be on our heads. Ve'al titein aleinu dam naki, spelled with an aleph. Naki is never spelled with an aleph. Dam naki means the dam of the one who will be vomited up, which means that there is a remez here to some secondary element that is coming through in the whole Yonah gestalt to them, which we already saw yesterday, that the nature of his communication was by not talking, and that even the Radak says that the kihi gidlahem means they understood from the way that he was. It's not that mad to suggest such a thing. He says in a slightly different context, but in any event, it's clear that what his approach was to teshuvah worked. He didn't have to say anything. He wasn't a preacher in the first parak. Over here, between the swallowing of the duck and the haka'ah of the duck, something changes in Yonah, because when he's coming out, he is ready now to do his shlichut. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him at the beginning of the next parak, the third parak tells him, here's the neviyut that I'm sending you to, although he's reluctant, and we see that he is upset later on, but he articulates later on his upsetness, whereas up until now, the whole point that he's making is by not saying anything. And in that, there must be something that reaches back to the whole story, as we said, of his identity with Elio and so on. Now, I would suggest that there's a key to understanding what it was that happened with Eliyahu, that he thinks he's supposed to be taking the place of Eliyahu. We were medayik, the nar that Eliyahu left behind. There's only one nar, and that is Hanar, Hanar, Hanavi, that we find later on. Now, I would suggest that there was one fantastic flaw in the entire story of Eliyahu, and it's a flaw that Eliyahu should have seen, and which undermined any possibility of its being an actual tikkun. And that flaw is that he did the entire thing on Har HaKarmel. It was usur for him to do it on Har HaKarmel, correct? And the Gemara says, how was Eliyahu makriv on Har HaKarmel? It was at the time in which there was a Migdash, which made it usur, or Mishkan, that makes it usur, to be makriv chutz. He was over on an Isser Koros. So as the Gemara tells us, that Yonah and Rambam paskins that he was makriv as a hora atcha'a. But hora atcha'a means that it's not permanent. It can't be permanent. In other words, the entire point is that what it is that you're doing is not meant to be permanent. That's what hora atcha'a means. And that's something that you do under those circumstances means that although it makes a point, but that point has to be fleshed out. And that fleshing out could take thousands of years, so that the Eliyahu that thinks that he achieves at that moment, Veishiv Levavot El Banim, and he's finally got his Pinchas identity all set, that he's taking the Shmei Mesrei Avanim, Keneget Shiftei Yaakov, I mean, he's really got it worked out, you know? The one that was called Yisrael, and he's got the whole thing in mind, the relationship of Yaakov and Yisrael, and Geula, and Tikkun, and Avodah Zarah, and wow, unbelievable. And it doesn't have a chance of success. And the hora atcha element of it is remarkably 24 hours, which is to him so devastating that he gives up an whole enterprise, as we saw yesterday, leaving Yonah behind to complete the job. This business about leaving Yonah behind what Yonah perhaps isn't picking up yet at this point, when he's about to be swallowed up here and so on, all this is going to happen to him. Remarkably, the story of Yonah and of Eliyahu begins all the way back in the original water, the water of the Mabul, the Teva. There were two birds that went out of the Teva. One was the Orev, that was Holeich Veshov, Adya Boshetamai. Adya Boshetamai, say Chazal, means until such time as Eliyahu dried up the water. And then it says the Orevim came, and they were Mechakel and Mibet Tavchid Achav. Well, for heaven's sakes. That entire story was a remez to Elio that is a no good Nick. This is continuing on his whole fight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Orev is Mashkir Panav Al Banav. He doesn't care about the money. That's the whole idea. Deposit the eggs at some other bird's nest, let them fend for themselves, and kill whoever they can, throw out the other birdies from the nest, and try to get your parnasa from someone else. I'm not interested.
That's a cuckoo.
Yep, that's the type of order. The Gemara says, actually, identifies cuckoo. It says cuckoo. So, but the nature of the Orev, Shechorot Korev, is Mashker Ponav, is cruel. So the ravens are a symbol, and that's supposed to be a remez to Elio as he has dried up the water, and everybody has nothing to eat. So you want something to eat, Elio? Sure. Have from the Orevim. That's the type of person you are. And we actually never find that he eats it. It says that they were mevi'im lo. It doesn't say that he ate it. The only thing it mentions about Elio is that he was vayesht min anachal. It doesn't say that he ever ate anything, except what the Malach brought him that time for 40 days that lasted him, the Koach Achilazu. So it could be the whole thing was stam or remez, although the Gemara Chulin says that it must have been food that was kosher. How did he know he could rely on the kashrus? He was relying on Ovadia, because they were coming to be tough for the Akkad. It's all sugya that you can rely on the shkita of a mumber, and how do we know Shechter? So, I mean, if he never ate it, you could tell him he didn't rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's action, you know, bringing it with him. Which, of course, brings us to the Livyasa. That was the other part of that joke, which is what the next parak is about. But of course, the other bird was the Yonah. And the Yonah is contrasted with the Orev. In other words, the idea of the Orev is that it does not have the patience, does not have the interest, it did not go out to find the tree. The only tree that it has is the Rotem that he stumbles over. The Rotem is always a symbol of hell, because Gechalei Retamim means the Rotem, something that burns inside of you so that it looks cool from the outside, the inside is burning hot, which is essentially a description of what was going on in Elio's own mind. So his ongoing refusal to come to terms with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so amazing the way that he repeats, you know, at Britcha, boom, Mizbechotecha, boom, Neviecha, murder. So after he repeats this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, can you repeat that, please? Did you say Britcha? Because I could have sworn you were talking about your Brit. This is my Brit. What the heck is it your business? It's your Mizbeach? Did you say my Mizbeach? Because you're acting as if it's your Mizbeach. So you're the guy that's going to figure out what has to be done, right? Is it my Nevi'im or it's your Nevi'im? I always thought it was mine, but... So Ma'achpat Lecha is the Lashon HaMedrash. Well, why are you telling me what has to be done about my Nevi'im and my Brit and my Mizbeach? This doesn't make sense. And nonetheless, he said, well, you know, get somebody else to do that job. So essentially what we have over here is very much the same issue. Here we have his Talmud, essentially, that is going on and is taking on the same approach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to send him back, and he has to learn how it is that things are getting along. And what was it that changed Eliyahu's commitment to keep the rain from everybody? Why did he have to give up the Mafteach of Gishamim? Because little Yonah had died. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, if you want to be Mechayim Esim, look, I mean, it doesn't seem fair that you keep the Mafteach on Gishamim, which is usually mine, and I, at least I had the Mafteach Shel Triyat HaMitim. Now you want the Mafteach Shel Triyat HaMitim also. I mean, let's make an exchange. You give me back that one, I'll give you this one, which is why that was, it was at that time that we have the Lecher HaLachav and so on, and all of his first coming back into the world of Rachamim. But that means that the Yonah himself, the Ben Amitai himself, and that was the moment that he becomes Amitai. That's when she says, the Amana says, B'dvar Hashem b'picha emet. It's at that point that he's called Yonah Ben Amitai, before Hashem explained. Actually, in Russian explained, that was the emet, as we said before, of Eliyahu. So that means that Yonah is actually meant to be a translation into elements of chesed, what it was that Eliyahu was involved in, what appears to be pure Midas Adin and Kanos, and his inability, which at the end, as we know, that's why we say Eliyahu Malach HaBrit, Rishon Chalofanecha, that was because of his constant complaining of Ru Britcha. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah? Okay, how about if for every Brit Milah, for the next few thousand years, how about you attend every one of them? Now, if ever there was a hell, that's got to be it. Okay, so Lemaisa, the relationship to Avelio, to Brit, to the coming of the Geula, and so on and so forth, all was Nikram. It all took shape during those 40 days, which were, of course, connected to the 40 days of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. As the Medrash points out, they end up the same 40 days, the same, many of the Lashonas are exactly the same. The Midas that are invoked are the same Midas. The Mara that they were in was exactly the same Mara. The show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is the same show. And basically, the day in which Moshe Rabbeinu utilized those Midas and was Masi Kapara was Yom HaKippurim. Which means that the fact that we translate the events here in Yonah, which are the outgrowth of that day, to Yom HaKippurim. And that's Tam Yom HaKippurim, Mincha Yom HaKippurim. Vayhi Ba'alot HaMincha, says the Gemara, a person should always be mispalled to his Mincha, because every Yo, that's when he was Zercha to this whole moment of Teshuvah. So as we, every last element points to a conscious recognition on the point of Klal Yisrael and everybody that was involved in this Tikkun from this point onwards, to understand that this was a real translation of the Keach of Eliyahu, who was Shokul Keneged Moshe, into the Yonah ben Amitai, who was Shokul in the Lashon of the Medrash Keneged Eliyahu. And that means that Yonah is making a mistake. Yonah is making a mistake not in the reality of what he feels Teshuvah can achieve. Oh no, and that is 100% right. His mistake is clearly in how it is that you get to that. The biggest raya to this is truly unbelievable. The biggest raya is from Sefer Nahum and the Targum. So Sefer Nahum begins, of course, with Masa Nineveh. That's what Sefer Nahum is about. It's about Nineveh. It's about Nineveh after Nineveh has become now the power of Asher, that has become the Keach that has destroyed Israel and so on. So, what does it say there? Masa Nineveh, Sefer Chazon Nahum Malkushi, says the Targum Yonatan. What does that mean? Sefer Chazon. Now, you said it's a Masa Nineveh. So, what's the double lotion of Sefer Chazon? Says the Targum there that this is the Masa of the Kastalut. That means the cup of Klola. Lut is Klola. The coast of Klola. Kastalut. To pour down the throat of Nineveh because of the Sefer Chazon. Who's Sefer Chazon? Midalit Kadminit Navi Ala Yonah Bar Amitai Navid Migat Chefer. Since they were given that chance by Yonah Ben Amitai to set them up for their ultimate destruction, and because of that, kaduado sifat amichte, they were chayte again. And even though they did teshuva, they came back. Now they're going to get it. So in other words, that means that we see the entire development of Nineveh as relating back to what it was that originally he, Yonah, had been misnabe. He had told them that they have to do teshuva, and that teshuva was indeed, he was saying, but it isn't worth anything. Well, the moment that it's gone, your nevius will immediately take effect. And at the end of those arboim yom, Nineveh is gone. And that's exactly what that Sefer Chazon of Nachum is meant to imply. But that means that what Yonah has to come to understand is that there is a process that's involved, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not asking him to short-circuit what it is that Elio was so sad about, upset about, and wanted him to be metaken, but adarava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on his side. And that was very clear with the story of the boat. Nobody understands that story in the Midrash. The boat had already left. All of a sudden, massive storm pushes the boat back. Yonah sees the boat. He says, clearly, Darki is mutzlachat lefanai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me actually to be able to escape on this boat. And that's true. But he didn't understand why. And the transformation of Yonah takes place in the course of this story. So now the question as to whether is this story supposed to be taken literally, not supposed to be taken literally, is not really important in any way, other than to recognize what the whole idea of the Navi is. Basically, according to Zohar, according to the Gra, the entire thing is a metaphor to the nature of the Neshama. So this whole idea of having a chance and getting another chance, which is Yonah here, and the dog and the bottom of the sea and Toad, is the death of Yonah, the coming back, the Gilgal of Yonah, meaning the Neshama that was Yonah. And it has nothing to do with an actual story necessarily, but it's meant to be read on a metaphorical level. Some of the other Mefarshim read it that way also. And it doesn't matter, they say, whether it was by Ein HaNavua or whether it's supposed to be taken literally. But I think that the point is here, point is that we need to share the experience of death with him. And that, the closest experience that we have, and that's why the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer speaks about it in these terms, for Mashiach ben Yosef, the only appropriate experience is an experience of a dog, for many reasons. A dog.
A dog.
A dog. The Yidgul Arov, the Karev Haaretz, is a description of B'nai Yosef in Golos. But we shall see that there is a much deeper issue, and that is if you think about the city of Nineveh. The city of Nineveh is the Nevei Hanun. It's the home of the fish. Nun in Aramaic is fish. So the whole story over here of a dog, which ends up coming to Nineveh, is obviously meant on a level that is meant to address the nature of the change in Yonah, and what's more, to address the nature of Teshuvah. Why do I say to address the nature of Teshuvah? Because, as you know, Nun is also Chamish, which is Yud Mem, which is Yam, which is Keneged Bina. The Darga of Bina is the Darga of Teshuvah. The Darga of Bina is Cherus. The Darga of Bina, and I'll explain all of this as we go. The Darga of Bina is Yovel, which is why Yom Kippur of Yovel is Rosh Hashanah, essentially. In other words, Asiri, it says B'Rosh Hashanah, B'Asiri L'Chodesh, it says the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Asiri L'Chodesh. You mean it was Yom Kippur of Yovel, which is the beginning of Yovel, where that new beginning is actually on Yom Kippur itself. So there the Tkia Shofar of Yovel frees you from Avdus, is Geula, puts everything back to a completely new start. All ownership begins again, the whole concept of Yerusha Sa'aretz takes place as if it never happened before. Everything is reset. That idea of resetting is what's happening over here, and that idea of resetting is what Yovel is about, essentially. Tshuva resets. The reason that this is so connected to the concept of Bina, Chamish, and Yam is, even on the simplest level, is because things can only reset when they're put back into solution, which is why we call solutions solutions. You don't come up with an answer until something has been put back into solution. In other words, the reason that dreams are so productive, the reason that you could see things in dreams, discover things in dreams, and so many massive, important discoveries have been the results of dreams historically, is because dream, sleep, bina, are all interrelated, and this is why fish, as the Medrash points out, don't close their eyes. They don't sleep with their eyes closed. Because the nature of sleeping with your eyes closed is to have an experience that is not linked to anything outside. It's entirely generated by your own brain. Whereas the concept of bina is to be always in solution. Which is why if you're tevo in fish, it's a kosher tefillah. You don't have to be tevo in water. You don't need 40 self water. It's so funny. Yeah, you could just imagine.
Settling in fish.
You could be told. You have one bucket of water, which is keeping alive our boim saw fish. You can be tevel in the mikveh with your boim saw fish.
Someone
wants to
point out that,
okay,
she won't
find the
symbol for Nineveh in hieroglyphics was a fish.
It was a fish, yeah. I forgot. Thank you so much. Yes, because it really means that. Well, it's not just some kind of strange.
On the river, it's
on the No, but the fish specifically, the idea of what a fish is, the concept of Nineveh Anun is tremendously central to the whole story. It's not that the people of Nineveh were aware of it. It wasn't that it was some kind of strange Kabbalistic thing. So in other words, the idea, especially if you consider Min Ha'aretz Hayyatza Ashur, according to Rashi's Pshat, which is the Medrash supports, in why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Merachem, specifically on Nineveh, was because of the fact that they refused the Merida of Nimrod, is exactly that idea. Nimrod wanted to close his eyes. That was the whole point. I don't want other languages. I don't want other ways of thinking. You think like me. Safa achat, dvarim achadim. The Nineveh approach is exactly the opposite. V'zaroyu melo haguyim. That is the bracha, basically, that has to do with Yosef. And exactly with Yonah's element of Yosef. Because as the Medrash puts it, when it says, his children will fill up all of the goyim, it means literally like goyim, says the Medrash. You want to find Jews? Go to the movie theaters. Go to the circuses. Go to the Colosseum. That's where you'll find all the Jews. So you'll find Zaro Melo HaGoyim, Melo HaTartariot, Melo HaKerkesiot. That's where they will be found. That's exactly what Yonah was dealing with. Yonah was dealing with those kind of Jews. The very Jews that Eliyahu had suffered so profoundly from and said, I can't take it anymore and I'm not interested in doing this anymore. So then that means that there was a contradiction here in how it is that Yonah saw his own shlichut. Because on the one hand, his impact on the Umay Sa'ilam, we see that this whole little boat idea initially is mamish, the Tevad of which he comes, because it has all the Shivim Umot, and the way that he protects them and tells them, look, you know, I don't want to endanger you because of me, just throw me into the Yam. And so on, that whole relationship and the impact that he has on them is very profoundly the correct approach of Yonah. And yet, somehow or other, he thinks that the only way to deal with the failure on Har HaKarmel of Eliyahu is to absolutely refuse to have anything to do with anything but reality. A tshuva that would be built the way Eliyahu says it. Im Hashem Elohim, l'chu acharav. Im Abalu Elohim. So then, fine. Then follow him. That type of thing was never said before in history. I mean, it was said, no. Yahshua said, look, you know, I'm going to go with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know if you guys can't handle it, it's your problem. But to say, listen here, this is ridiculous. You can't straddle a line. I insist that you make up your mind. Well, what if we choose the balls? Well, go ahead. I mean, this is unbelievable words from Eliyahu. You know, we're so used to the idea, well, you know, make a few compromises. It's better at least. Yeah, he'll do some mitzvahs. A little of it is on the side. No. Eliyahu's approach is absolute identity, which is consistent, of course, with Pinchas. And so, we have here at the beginning of Perek Beit, a question is whether we view this as being a living experience and not a living experience. The Zohar learns that this is essentially death. We are sharing Yonah's death. Nobody lives in a fish, and he describes his drowning at the beginning of his tefillah. He obviously had drowned, for all intents and purposes. You want to call it one of these, near-death experiences, or which, you know, like the idea of re-oxygenating the lungs of Yonah in the first place, which is what it makes it sound like, you know, in the story of Eliyahu, you know, whatever. But basically, it's an experience of death. So, v'yaman Adonai dag gadol livlo et Yonah. Now, 3 days and 3 nights is also Merumas in the Zohar, as, and in all the Midrashim actually, that for the first 3 days after death, so we know that the Neshama doesn't want to be Misparig Min HaGuf, and is very mitzvah at seeing the decay of the Guf. Finally, as the Gemara says, there's nothing left that the Neshama can tolerate, and at that point, there's an aziva. This is the first 3 days of the Avelut because of that, or more kasha. So the Zohar compares it actually, as the Brot does in his Pirush, to those first 3 days of Avelut, which are the most painful of the transition from living to dying. So the 3 days over here are because of that also significant. And the Medrash points out, this is the way that Yosef himself acted. He keeps his brothers, and it's 3 days. Why 3 days? Apparently the transition from one state of thinking to the possibility of dropping the way you would think is a 3-day process. Just like Nichumi Min Avelut is 3 days, which is what Nichoma is about. It's about changing your mind. So that means Nichoma, Avelut, change of paradigm, are related to a process specifically of Shlosha Yom.
And also the maximum time you can stay awake, 3 days.
Yes. Yeah, the netter, yeah. That's interesting. All right, so here he is, Bimei Hadag, Shlosh Yamim V'Shlosh HaLevot. Now, the experiences that he has in the Dag is what he's going to describe in his Tefillah. And so, V'Yitpa'o Yonah L'Adonai Elohav Mimei Hadagah. Until now, not only was he not mitpalel, he absolutely refused. I mean, even to the captain says to him, "You've got to pray." Not a word. The other passengers on the boat, when they come to him, oh, don't even suggest he should pray. You're crazy? This is a guy who's fighting God. Why should he pray? He'll probably be damaging if he prays. He shouldn't pray. So basically, that's what he felt. In other words, it's not that Chas v'Shalom there was a merida. There was a battle. Exactly, it's been a battle by Eliyahu. If I'm fighting you, I can't come to be Mavon. I'm going to be Mavakich. We have staked out our positions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants A and I want Z. What is there to talk about? So tefillah normally is the fact that I'm able to share how it is that I see the tzrachim of the world with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's possible to argue in tefillah. It's possible to vayigash elav, like we find by Avram, and a gisha could be a lashon milchama, and so on and so forth. But once you stake out positions, you're not open to changing. You've said, "I'd rather die," which is what Eliyahu said. God, you could do as many of your little tricks over here with the Aish and the Rosh. I'm not impressed. This is my position, and I'm not going to change my position. So, if that's the case, it was not possible for him to be mitpalel up until this time. If he is mitpalel, it's not just that he's mitpalel. The pasuk makes it clear that this was a revelation because he now realizes that he's on the same side as HaKadosh Baruch. Why? It doesn't say El Hashem. It says El Hashem Elokav. When it says Hashem Elokav, obviously we're talking about something that is uniquely his God, his Elokav. And this basically, I mean, the Ramban mentions, this is very interesting, the idea of using the word Hashem Elokav, again, of course, the language of the Ramban is very, very different, but the Ramban points out that the Yemuno Bitochon, that the same Lashon, Vayechal Moshe et Pnei Hashem Elokav, which is, of course, exactly that Yom Kippur Tefillah, that which brought about the change in the Midas, which Yonah himself is going to actually use Moshe Rabbeinu's words, as we'll see in the course of this tefillah, and it says exactly the same Lashon there. As the Ramban says, that is the nature of Emunato be'elohut. That's why by Yitpalel Yonah Hashem Elokav, the Ramban actually puts the two together. Now, of course, because of the absurd Christian influence, people think that that means ala emunah, on faith, which of course is the opposite of the Jewish meaning of emunah. So that the idea of ne'emar al ha'emunah means the consistency with a person's point of view, the faithfulness of it. Which means that up until now he felt that's tzadik be'emunato yichya. You don't live on other people's emunah; you live on your own emunah. So when something is close to you, when something is an expression of the way that you experience reality, that's called on emunah. When it says Hashem Elokav, therefore the Ramban is saying that this means that he's in the process of experiencing a profound revelation of how it is that what he thought was the opposite of what he wanted really was the same. He was missing an understanding, and when that boat was blown back, it was true. His original thought that this means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes what I want, is helping me in what I want, that was really true. But in a different way than he understood. And so, this tefillah, the way Rabbi Tarfon, and of course, who else but Rabbi Tarfon would speak about Yonah? Yonah came back with Teref Bethiu, which is Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon is the one who describes this in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. And he says that basically this fish he experienced as the wide open doors of the Churva Shul. You know, so he was walking into a mokum of tefillah, he experiences it as. The eyes of the fish are transformed into beautiful crystal colored windows like he would have had in a shul. It's just that they also have headlights so that he could see everything that's going on in the yacht, you see. So this is a fantastic experience now. And so what he basically does is he starts communicating to the duck, because the duck tells him, look, we're in big trouble, because I don't know if you know, but this is my day to be eaten by the Leviosa. Just today. Sounds familiar? No? The Malach that met Yaakov Avinu, this is my day. Of course this is his day. That's the point. The Vayiman Hashem, says, of course, Rabbi Tarfon again, says Rabbi Tarfon, this dog was mimuneh misheshet mevereshit. That's what Vayiman means. It was there from the beginning. So that's the Losh of Absurd Achana. Okay, so it was there waiting for him, and this is the day, obviously, that means that the point of the relationship of this dog to my separations is to bring Yonah to the Livyas. Okay. So Yonah says, it's not a problem. I am going to save you from the Livyas. And in return, we make a deal. You give me a tour. I would love to see the ocean depths. I would like to understand what is going on this planet. All the things that Jacques Cousteau... No, I'm sorry, he wasn't born yet. But I want you to show me all of the things that nobody knows about, and that'll be in exchange for my saving your life from the Livios. Okay, the dog isn't too impressed. He does not think that little boy is going to be able to save him from the Leviosa, when a little boy fits inside of his tummy, you know, it doesn't seem reasonable. So, what happens? He says, "Oh, Lichini, Etzlo, Ani Matzil Otcha. I'm going to save you and me. Don't worry about a thing." So brings him to Lev Yosef. So Yonah says to Lev Yosef, Leviathan, listen here. I had to come to identify where you live, you know, because I'm committed liatid lavo, ani atid liten chever b'leshoncha, la'alot otcha, v'lizboch otcha v'suda gedola shel tzadikim. After all, as we saw, Yonah's Mr. Sukkah. So Mr. Sukkah has to be committed to bringing up the Leviathan for the big suuda to share. So I don't think that I'm the right guy for you to start up with, because after all, I mean, this is of course a remez once again to Malach HaBrit, the one that's gonna achieve all of this. And of course, as the Malach HaBrit, so Hero Chotamo shel Avraham, Ve'amar Yonah, Habet LeBrit. The Leviathan turns tail to Brit Milah. That I can't handle. Poor Leviathan. Nobody's ever tried this exposure stuff around him before. This is a modern Leviathan. This is devastating. Obviously, the nature of the Brit is the exact opposite of the Leviathan. That's what it's saying. Let me do things when I get to them. I know, but it makes it very difficult for me to give over in the right order.
Which is...
What about the other song? You know, un as the red schlafen. Okay, so Yonah turns to the dog. Itzalticha, we got a deal. Now you got to show me around. So, okay, starts taking him around. And we'll get back to what he shows him. So, at this point, actually, Yonah, for the next 3 days, is taking his tour and is actually quite happy. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wait a second. I threw the guy down there to start. I mean, he's supposed to start. Why is he having such a good time? So, we see the next passage. He didn't cry out HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the dog. He cries out HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mime'ei Hadaga. So why Mime'ei Hadaga? This is the Medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, he's got two good accommodations here. What we shall do is, we shall have him transferred into the daga, who happens to be carrying around 400 million little tiny dagim in its mouth, which it's raising, and let's see how he enjoys that. So, the dog comes to Mrs. Dog. Comes to Doc. Okay. Mrs. Daga says, I have been given a tzivui by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a riotous story. I've been given a tzivui by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take the gentleman that you're holding and carry him instead. Says Mr. Doug, how do I know I can trust you? After all, I have my tzivui. I can't. What do you mean? You come along and you say, who are you? Hilarious, right? So Mrs. Daga says, well, the only one that would know is the Leviathan. Says Mr. Daga, would the Leviathan know? Well, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays with him every day. That's what the Gemara says. What does he do with his free time? He's Misachekim Leviathan. So that means they're always out there on the soccer field. They probably have nothing to talk about. Ask him. So they go to the Leviathan. And the Leviathan says, yes, indeed, at today's game, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentioned to me that the guy is supposed to take over Yonah. All of this is... really, really strange. Okay. So now Yonah is in trouble. The accommodations are crummy. It was all nice for 3 days. This is usually what happens, you know. The first 3 days when you write all your postcards home, wish you were here and everybody comes, then they can put you in the crummy room. So Yonah gets put into the Miyadaga, and then he's mitpalel. And he says, unabashedly, Vayomer, Karati mitzarali el Adonai v'yaneni. Now that's not a nice thing to say if you're going to daven to Hashem. Should it be because you're in tzaris? I mean, you should, you know. I mean, you should say thank you, or you should express what it was that you wanted to do. I mean, apparently, the nature, and the Medrash says this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want him to be mispalel to me, because that's what I love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitavel et tefilatan shel tzadikim, which means that there was no need for tefillah. The only need for tefillah was for the kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he desired. But it's not that here Yonah is coming. Everybody understands that there's all that Yonah is coming and he's doing tshuva and he understands he was a bad boy. Anyway, that's not what we see here. We see here karati mitzarali. And on the contrary, he discovered Hashem Elokav here, so that something different is going on. Vayaneni mibeten sheol, and here of course is where the Midrashim understand that he literally died, because I mean sheol is death, and that's why the Avar Vanel understands that the description over here is the description of his own prior Trias HaMesim. He's talking about what had happened. Karati, I had called. Again, the other Mefarshim, as we spoke about, explain this. What do you mean, Karati? That's what you're doing now, not what you're... So, well, there's no Vav Amapek or anything. What's Karati mean? So this is called the Nevi'ut Avar. Because the Navi is so convinced of his vision of the future, he speaks about it as if it is the past. There are some who suggest that it actually must have taken place afterwards, because as you talk about in the past, the Eben Ezra takes them apart, shows that the language is often used this way by a Navi, and says, look, whatever you say. Bottom line is, the end of the parak after this says that the dog was making. I mean, it's a little ridiculous to say it was afterwards when it's one line at the end of the story. And I think that we indeed don't have to say the Avar Vanel, which is cute to see that indeed he would already have experienced Bibet and Shaul, which is important in terms of understanding who he is. And Shamata Koli, Vatashlicheni Mitsula Belavav Yamim, Vinahar Yisodaveni, Kom Mishbarecha Vigalecha Alayavar. And this is clearly not referring to the fish itself. This is referring to his dying, his drowning. He experienced what it was to be thrown into the Yam in the middle of this massive storm, washed out hopelessly into the sea. You know, when I went into this, I was convinced that I'd never see you again. Because I understood, as the Medrash says, just like Elio said, Kachet nafshi, I'm tired of this. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Imayin mecheinina misifrecha, or Hargeini naharob. I understood that sometimes a Navi has to give up his life for the tovah that is necessary for Klal Yisrael, and that's what I thought. And I thought that I wouldn't be forgiven. Now this basically is what happened to Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen is never forgiven. He lost two of his children. What he did was entirely for the sake of Klal Yisrael, that they shouldn't be nikshal in something that could never find a tikkun, which was part of this whole story, which is the tikkun of Moshe and Elio in that Mara, the Gamal Aaron Yitpalalti. So that this is something that we see as a hanhaga that people could take upon themselves and fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. And those who don't, in a way, those who complain and those who fight, And that's the medrash about the Rotem, that you deserve gichalei retamim in your mouth for speaking nonsense about my children. Who asked you to talk about this? We find this all the time. That we find by other Nevi'im, always. Anybody who speaks against Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to act, he wants you to act for Yisrael. If I made you a Navi, it's not for you to complain to me. I make you a Navi in order to do good for Yisrael, not to do bad for Yisrael. So if that's the case, he felt that he was giving up his life for that purpose. And that's what I thought. And I thought that you weren't with me in this, that it was up to me. Now I understand that I was wrong, and that in fact the Nevi'ah that was originally Chal in the Mokom of the Mikdash, which was the time of what? The time of water, of Nisach HaMayim, the time of the experience of the Tahom of Nisach HaMayim, which relates directly back to Mabul, to Barashis and Barashis, to the specific tefillah of Adam Arishon and the tefillah of Sukkot on trees and on the Umas HaElam, the Le'avdai V'Lashomrei, which is the end of the story here. I will indeed come back to see Heichal Kachecha, Afafuni Mayim Ad Nefesh. The water touched my very life, Tahom Yisovetheni. I was surrounded by that essential Tahom, that chaos, Suf Chavush L'Roshi, which means, according to the Medrash, that he took him on a tour of all of the oceans, brought him to the Yam Suf as well, so that he would experience the crossing of the Yam of Yisrael. This was a time machine, not just a place machine. Likitzvei harim yaradeti, haaretz berichea abadi lo'olam, v'atal mishachat chayai Adonai Elohai. I was taken down to the deepest underground mountains, to the trenches of the ocean itself, and I considered that I was basically locked in with brichim forever. I would never be able to see the world again. And instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away from all of this destruction, brought me back to life. Atal mishachat chayai, v'itatef alai nafshi et Adonai zacharti, v'atavoy elecha tefilati elechal kachecha. As the last gasps of my nefesh, v'itatef, a person wraps himself in the last bits of life that he has, it was then that I was filled with the Zechira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we've pointed out many times, Zecharti doesn't mean I remembered. Oh gosh, all of a sudden, any idiot in a foxhole is screaming to God. I mean, it took him 3 days to remember. Oh, is there a God? Perhaps I could. But it's absurd. So the Zecharti means the coming into a state in which this becomes your actual experience. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ve'ezkored Briti. What does that mean? He's been planning this for, you know, since my separations. So now all of a sudden, oh, didn't I make a brit about this? And then afterwards he tells Moshe, well, what do you think? I've been waiting for hundreds of years. What do you mean? You just said you just remembered. So obviously, the Zacharti doesn't mean I just remembered. It means that I've come into a matzav where I'm able to use that identity which has always been beneath it all. And because of that, you might feel it penetrated all the way to Heichal Kachecha. Mishamrim ma'avle shav chasdan ya'azov v'ani v'kol todaz b'chalach asher nadarti ha'shalema yeshuat al Adonai. Now the simple way of understanding this is that, yeah, I know about all the sailors, and I know about Nineveh, and I know that it's very easy for them to be mishamrim ha'avle shav. They made a lot of promises, and this is the way many of the Mefarshim explain. But I guarantee you, chasdom yazov, lots of chesed, chesed lumim chatas. They'll forget as soon as things calm down, they'll forget about all of the promises that they made to you, and they're going to bring their kids, and they're all going to become gerim. Yeah? Let me see it. Vani bekol toda, I'm not like that. Asher nadarti ha'shalema, when I make a promise, I will keep that promise. And here, Chazal say, what was that promise? The promise to bring the Leviathan. So in other words, this was actually a renewed commitment on the part of Yonah, in which he was tofes that what he was going through was directly nogea what it was that he was trying to achieve all along. And that somehow or other, the experience here is nogea to the teshuvah that is going to be capable of being achieved if he goes to Nineveh. And that Yeshua, those nedarim, that Yeshua belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Lamaisa, the Midrashim don't agree with that Pirish, even though it seems to be the Pashat Pshat, as many of the Mefarshim Mikra say. And they say Mishamrim Hav Leshav is a reference to those who are Oved Avodah Zarah, which is Hav Leshav. And even the Mishamrim Hav Leshav are the people that support the people that are Shavah, because everyone said, go pray to your God. Well, it's not your God. I know, but I support all gods. So Mishamrim Hav Leshav, I'm on your side, you go pray. Chazdam in the sense of Chesed, Cherpahu, Chazdam Yazovu. They threw it all overboard and took on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or Chastam, the way they always treat their Avodah Zarah with great chesed and dignity and so on. Yazovu, they threw them overboard. But whatever, according to the Medrash, it's taking seriously their neder, instead of the contrast, which of course would fit it much better. We'll have to continue tomorrow.